WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
I'm Nicholas Persley, joined by Joe Schatz and Adam Hambray. How are we doing, gents?
Oh, I'm great, I guess. You know, it was a pretty rough weekend for Alabama sports, but happy to be here, I guess. Happy to not be talking college basketball. Happy to be talking college football. So,
I'm a little rough, you know. I was expecting not to be here tonight. Was expecting to be on the road about this time, coming back from Louisville, but, you know, I got that started a little bit earlier. You know, we headed back yesterday, had to eat the price tag on an extra night at the room because it was non-refundable, but, you know, it happens.
It is what it is. I feel your pain. Anyway, we've got a big show for you. Football's back. Finally, Alabama football is back. I feel like this will be the first show in a while that we've actually pretty much solely talked about Alabama football, so that's exciting. Planning on talking about Saban's comments from his first presser of the season to open spring practice. We're going to talk about the potential QB battle that's brewing in Tuscaloosa, and as always, for our final segment, Beef of the Week is back. So let's get right into it. Say that again.
I said by popular demand, Beef of the Week.
Yes, by popular demand.
I will not be trash talking my fiance this time. So I think we're.
Is it because she's listening now?
She's back in town. She's not taking vacations and stuff, and still trying to finish planning the wedding. So I'll keep her in a good mood.
There you go. Anyway, we're gonna get right into things. So. The big news since the last time we were here, obviously Nick Saban's opening press conference of the spring, and it featured what a lot saw as a shot at Nate Oates. Obviously, the whole Tony Mitchell situation, which we haven't talked about on this show, and I don't really feel like has been talked about much at all.
Yeah,
really.
It's kind of just been, you know, when everything that's been going on around that Alabama athletic program, this happened, and then the attention just turned to what Nick Saban said and not what actually happened that made him say this, you know?
Yeah. So let's talk about what actually did happen. So Tony Mitchell, the freshman, four-star, new recruit, defensive back, was arrested and charged with possession of marijuana with intent to sell in Florida. His passenger was also carrying a concealed firearm without a permit. In Florida, you do have to have a permit to carry a concealed firearm, unlike in Alabama. AL.com got their hands on the arrest report, which said that the vehicle contained 226 grams of marijuana and $7,000 in cash. And in evading the police, the vehicle was going 141 miles an hour. So not a good situation for the freshman. Nick Saban then said that Tony Mitchell was suspended from the team, and he said, quote, "There's no such thing in being at the wrong place at the wrong time." Now, obviously, that comes those words specifically seem to come off as a bit of a shot at Nate Oates and how they responded to their own bit of controversy in the program. As a reminder, Nate Oates and Alabama did walk back those initial comments. He apologized for them, and he said that he didn't take the remark as criticism. Saban said that he doesn't watch basketball press conferences, which is extremely believable, honestly.
Yeah.
But then, of course, there were the pictures that came out, I think, the day after these comments were made of Saban at the men's basketball practice, snapping some pictures. Good PR move there. So how do we feel about these comments? Do we feel like this was a shot at Nate Oates? What do we think?
I don't think it was. No. I think, just like Nick Saban said, he doesn't watch basketball press conferences. I don't think he really watches anything other than game film and his practice film. You know, I don't think he's going in and being like, oh, I gotta, you know, take a shot at a fellow coach at the university. Now, obviously, when Nate Oates made those comments, wasn't the right thing to say. That was right after they had that court hearing that supposedly Nate Oates was not aware of what was made public at that time, which is when the PR should have stopped the press, well, not stopped the press conference, but delayed it a little bit, made sure Nate Oates knew everything going in. And then when Nick Saban has, you know, his press conference and he makes this statement, it's two totally different situations. I won't get into all the specifics about the ongoing court case that's happening, but we've talked about it before. But that one where somebody happened to be in the area and was supposed to pick them up and had the weapon in the car is different than somebody running away from the police at 141 miles per hour.
Yeah, and I mean, just the stuff that he did after the comments were made, where, you know, he goes to the basketball practice and he, you know, it was clearly not like this, you know, Nick Saban like berating Nate Oates for what he said or anything. I mean, kind of like you said, Adam, I mean, it's you know, I don't think Nick Saban's focused on the basketball, you know, press conferences at all. Yeah. You know, he bored on, I think he went to like a couple games this year, but that's probably the most he's ever really cared about the basketball team. So I think it was fairly simple. That I don't think it was meant as any sort of thing.
And I'm sure that they had already had that plan to where Nick Saban was going to appear with the basketball team anyway, just to kind of get them, you know, hyped up for the next round of the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
But
didn't work.
I guarantee you that the PR team had something to do right before going in there, being like, make sure you get a handshake picture with Nate Oates. You know, I believe that there might be, you know, some changes within the Alabama PR department, you know, coming up just with how everything's been handled this year. But it seems like they are trying to be more on top of things.
So here's my take on this. Look, I think maybe there was a little bit of a shot, right? Okay, I think it, when you have something so high profile that happens at the University of Alabama, specifically in the athletics department, I think that regardless of what sport it would have been, who would have been involved, that Nick Saban's going to know about it. Because you could argue that maybe besides Greg Byrne, he's the most important person in the athletics department on this campus.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Definitely.
So I think he knew, you know, what Nate Oates said. I think he's being a little facetious there. You know, yes, I agree with him that he's being truthful when he says he doesn't watch basketball press conferences, because that just seems like him. He spends like 99% of his day watching film. That's why he's so good. But I definitely think he did know what was said. And obviously, like, the comments were walked back. I think even if, you know, hypothetically, if somebody had asked Saban and said, like, you know, was that okay for Nate Oates to say that, he probably would have disagreed, right? He would have said, yeah, like, yeah, he shouldn't have said that, because the university had to come out and walk those comments back. Nate Oates had to walk those comments back. And obviously he was unprepared going into that. Nate Oates was. And that was a PR mistake. You have to prepare your coach for a situation like that before he's going to go face the media. But, you know, I think it's more of, it's not so much as a shot at Nate Oates, but it's more of like a, hey, we're going to reinforce it. Like, this doesn't fly in our program. Right? That's how I viewed it.
I mean, it could very well be that. I mean, because, I mean, Nate Oates, you know, definitely, you know, probably knows about this Brandon Miller, you know, and what Nate Oates said in that initial press conference, because it did make a lot of headwaves. And I mean, it could just very well be a thing of, you know, it looks, you know, this doesn't matter in the grand scheme of what happened in the crime and stuff, but it does look bad, like, recruiting wise, you know, for, like, imagine if you're like a parent of a guy who could potentially go to Alabama, and you hear about, you know, their star basketball player getting in, you know, kind of involved in a murder case. So maybe Nick Saban wanted to kind of separate himself from the whole situation by doing something. But I don't think he was inherently taking a shot at Nate Oates while doing it. He might have just tried to save, you know, that the Alabama football side of the athletic department as.
But basically not going into the press conference going, oh, I'm about to rip into Nate Oates right here, right, but yeah, definitely wanted to kind of make corrections for what the athletic department has made mistakes in the past.
Yeah, one thing I will mention, since it's been, I can't remember when we did the whole Brandon Miller situation, like, deep dive.
Probably been a month. There's a lot more information that's come out.
Yeah, Ryan Phillips, great article for Tuscaloosa Patch. If you haven't read that, I'm pretty sure anybody who's listening to this has read that. But if you haven't, please go read that, because that is shines a new light on the whole situation that I don't think any of the national media really saw. So let's kind of look at some other stuff that Nick Saban said. I thought it was interesting. He talked about how somebody asked him a question about, you know, you have new coordinators on both sides, a lot of change within the program, a lot of players leaving. And they asked him, you know, what that was going to be like, what kind of challenges were going to be involved doing all that. And I found it was interesting. Saban basically said something to the effect of that he treats every single year like he just got the job. Like, I just thought that was interesting. I don't know what y'all thought about that.
Well, it is pretty true. I mean, college football does change, I mean, at the very least, every 4 years. I mean, you know, if you don't lose your coaches, your, you know, staffers, people like that, you're losing players every four, you know, one recruiting cycle every 4 years, and, you know, you're obviously losing players every year, you know, just by the sheer nature of graduating. But, you know, I think it is kind of an interesting perspective, because Alabama did have, like, pretty much a whole organization change. I mean, if we look at it in terms of, you know, the NFL, imagine if an NFL team, you know, lost their offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, their quarterback, you know, a couple linemen. I mean, you know, it's going to be almost a whole new team.
Yeah, not just that, but, like, you said the coordinators and the quarterback. That's big. But also the main running back that we had.
Yeah.
We keep the receivers, but, you know, one transferred. Defensive-wise, we lost a lot on defense. And then all of the assistant coaches. We lost a ton of assistant coaches. I think two went to with Deion Sanders to Colorado, and we had a bunch of others just moving around. So it's this – I know he says that he looks at it every year like he just got the job, but this might be, like, the biggest turnover, like, overall program-wise since he got the job. So it'll be very interesting to see how he works it out this year.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. I mean, this is a complete – overhaul, really. I mean, and, you know, I think a lot has been said about how he kind of wants to return things to, you know, running the ball and playing great defense, and kind of reworking, getting back to that old Alabama culture. I thought another thing that was kind of interesting is he got really defensive when they talked about our new offensive coordinator, and they started talking about the question had something to do with, you know, since he's so young or something. And Saban got really defensive about this. He was like, it doesn't matter, old or young. It just matters that they do a great job and they have experience. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Tommy Reese definitely has experience, not as much experience as some of the previous hires that we've had at the offensive coordinator. But I think it's a good hire, especially if he's trying to get back to that old Alabama style, you know, the offense that Tommy Reese ran to Notre Dame. He's going to have better athletes, and it's going to look kind of similar to how Georgia's run their offense, which has seemed to work, especially with how good their defense has been. If we can kind of get back to having a dominant defense, I mean, we'll have to see, like, how we actually play when the season comes out. Nick Saban wants to have a dominating defense. We haven't had that in a couple of years, whereas you look at the SEC East with Georgia, they've had the best defense in college football. Maybe Michigan's up there with them, but Georgia's definitely had one of the best. And then they've had that offense where it's like, it's not very flashy, but it gets the job done. And maybe that's kind of what he's looking to go to. Probably this might look a lot more like the 2016-ish team, you know, when we had Jalen Hurts as starting quarterback. Jalen Milroe's a little bit bigger, but, you know, they have a very similar play style. So we'll see about that. And then defensive-wise, if we can have anything somewhat similar to the 2016 defense, we'll be in good shape.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see just kind of what – I mean, obviously, you know, we're not going to know – probably up until, you know, the game kicks off week one, who's going to be the starting quarterback. But when when you kind of made the comparison in 2016 and Jalen Hurts and the way that Miller plays, it is, you know, it is eerily similar. I mean, you know, and I remember in Milrow's, you know, the one start that he had against A&M this season, it was, you know, pretty much, you know, he would drop back, look at one read, and if that guy wasn't open, he ran. And that's, you know, not that, you know, I think Jalen Hurts was a little more maybe developed than that. But I think just the way that that offense could play with him and with Tommy Rees, who loves, you know, at Notre Dame, he liked to pound the ball, he liked getting tight ends out. You know, it could be really good if Milrow kind of takes that next step, which I don't know.
You know, one thing I do want, because we'll get into it in a little bit, but like just figuring out who that quarterback is going to be, because we haven't had it recently, but we've had, you know, a couple of years where we've went into, you know, the first game of the season, we've went like, okay, you're going to get the job for the first quarter. Well, you're going to go in the second quarter. Like we had that with
Jalen Hurts had that.
Well, yeah, with Jalen Hurts his first year for the first game, and we had it when Tua, when he officially took the starting job, Tua and Jalen kind of split in that Louisville game. But I'm thinking more the year before Jalen got there, that 2015 year, where we were like three games in, still hadn't decided. They gave who was it? Because
like the starter?
Coker ended up with the starting job, but that was the game. I'm trying to remember his name because I think he left like right after it.
Was Cooper Bateman there?
It might have been Bateman. I just remember we go into Ole Miss, we start, you know, not Jake Coker, and then we're down, and we try to come back, and we lost the game like 48-43. And week two, we have Texas. We can't afford to have that against them.
Yeah, I got to hold these guys back. They want to talk quarterback so bad. I want to talk quarterback so bad. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're talking about who's going to be the starter week one.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back in, folks, here to the College Football Wrap-Up Show here on 90.7 The Capstone. We're back for a second segment of the night on a kind of murky night in Tuscaloosa. I don't know if that's the right word that I'm searching
for.
It's
a storm.
It's weird. You know, you got, you know, kind of that storm kind of coming in, and I think it's, you know, all driven from the athletic unsuccess from this weekend. You know, we only the wins we did have, we had Alabama baseball. You know, they won today. They did not get swept by Kentucky. And then you had, I know, women's tennis. They won their matchup today. So that's two wins.
Oh, well, I got some more. Okay. So recent news. Okay. Men's golf, big win.
I did hear about
Nick
this.
Dunlap wins. He's the first freshman since Robbie Shelton to win an individual title. So that's a big win. And the team won. So that's big. Wheelchair basketball, men's and women's, both won the national championship. For the women, it's four in a row. And then for the men, it's second in the past 3 years.
Yeah, that was what? That was like a week ago that the men won
there. Yeah, I think
that
was about a week
ago. So all this happened, you know, during our hiatus.
Yes.
And then, you know, all of those victories have been overshadowed by other defeats. But let's get back to football.
Basketball. You know, we had to keep things a little positive, right? Yeah. You know, in between us playing weathermen. So, let's get back to football. So, obviously, the number one thing that's on most Alabama fans' mind is who is going to be the quarterback week one. But one thing I want to get into before we start saying, like, who we think is going to be the quarterback week one. Saban obviously led off with the same thing that every coach says about how there's no depth charts, everyone gets a chance. Are we really buying that? Like, maybe specifically with the quarterbacks. Like, come on.
Sorry, I was going to say, I think this year, yes. I think, he's pretty much done it almost every season. But, like, you know, like, I think, like, Bryce's first year, like, there was no kind of, I get, you know, maybe you're worried about him, but, like, there was no quarterback really competition, I don't think. Bryce Young was pretty much the, you know, slam dunk guy, you know, or alley-oop type of guy. And then this year, though, I think there was a legit quarterback battle because I think you have a guy who's actually played in a game and who has a fair amount of experience for a guy who's never, you know, who's only really started one game. And then the other side is a freshman who really has not seen the field. I think Ty Simpson has thrown a combined 5 passes. You know, so, I mean, I think there is a genuine quarterback battle this year, especially with the difference in their play styles. You know, and the new offensive coordinator probably has a lot of impact on that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, like we were talking about with Tommy Reese's offensive style that he's had, you would think Ty Simpson would have an upper hand in that because of he is the more typical passer that Tommy Reese has had at Notre Dame. But Jalen Milroe brings you know, a more athletic person who can open up your playbook a little bit. But Tommy Reese didn't run that type of playbook at Notre Dame. So it'll be interesting to see if just with what Tommy Reese's offense is supposed to be, how much that's going to impact, or if it's just going to be who is the better quarterback. But if we're talking about with quarterback battles at Alabama, you know, I think Nick Saban has been one of the coaches that has kind of kept it to where everybody does get a chance. I mean, when he first got here, you know, it was John Parker Wilson. He was the starting quarterback. And then it was Greg McElroy. There wasn't really a competition there. AJ McCarron followed. But then after that, you know, Blake Sims, you know, he had moved over to quarterback from running back and he got the job. Jay Coker had the battle with Bateman. Jalen Hurts had to split time with, I think it was Blake Barnett in that first game before Jalen Hurts got it. And then, you know, that second year it was Jalen Hurts' job. But then Tua comes in the national championship game, wins it. But then the next year, Tua didn't have the job. You know, it was that first game against Louisville. It was Tua started, Jalen came in. Who's going to be, you know, the better quarterback? Tua won the job then. And that was the infamous, was it Maria Taylor interview at halftime when he kind of snapped at her. And then, you know, with Bryce, I think that was the first time in almost 10 years that it was like, yeah, there's not really a competition here because Bryce is just so much better than anybody else on the roster. This year, I do think it's more of a competition. I think with the two guys, so like Jalen Milroe has more game experience, which kind of puts him ahead, but then also Ty Simpson is more of what Tommy Reese is used to from Notre Dame. So it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing shakes up.
The other thing, too, and I'm sure Saban is very aware of this, he probably doesn't really want to come out and say anything in case one of those guys decides to transfer with the decision. So, like, if he came out yesterday for spring practice and said, you know, yeah, we're going to rock with Jalen Milroe, like, Ty Simpson might be like, okay, well, I'm just going to leave, you know, and still have enough time, really, to transfer into a school and make an impact. I mean, this was around the same time, you know, Jameson Williams came to Alabama, was kind of in that spring football period. And I think, you know, I think Saban might be keeping that battle open for as long as he can without really pulling a trigger in case one of those guys, you know, is going to be the type where, you know, come week one, if Ty Simpson's better than Jalen Milroe, you know, week two might leave, you know, or he might leave, I should say now, as opposed to leaving week two of the season. So I don't know. That could be another reason why he says that.
I don't know how much of it would be just trying to get him not to transfer. I mean, that's definitely a good point. It could be part of it. But another part, as we get closer to the season, because I think this is going to be another one of those battles that is going to go at least right up to week one. And then they might do the two quarterback thing in the week one game, but they're going to have a decision before week two. And how much would that be just, we don't want to give Texas and their coaching staff any hint at who our quarterback's going to be, because like we were talking about, two very different play styles, it's going to be like two very different playbooks that they're going to have to
That's true. Especially if that week one game, sorry Nick, no, you're dying to say something. So that week one game is Middle Tennessee State too. So I mean, it's like, even if, I mean, let's say, you know, Jalen Miller starts that game, goes out, throws, you know, a couple three or four touchdowns, you know, and looks really good, it might not even be over then, because, you know, Texas is a whole new team and a whole new ball game there. So I don't even know if we'll know after week one necessarily who's going
to
be the quarterback.
I just want a decision before Texas. I can't handle another close Texas game.
That's fair. And I do think it would be especially important considering a large part of the reason why we almost lost that Texas game is because since Sark got to Texas, he was game planning for that game.
Yeah.
Like that specific game. Anyway, I'm not buying this. Like, this is whatever. Come on, coach. You know, I'm pretty confident that he knows who is going to be the starting quarterback week one.
Oh, okay.
I just don't like the whole, like, when he says there's no depth chart, he's got an idea who's the leader in the clubhouse, you know, so to speak, right?
The other thing, too.
So, like, I'll let you go first.
I was going to say, the other thing with that depth chart comment is, like, that might mean that, like, come week one, and I wouldn't really be shocked at this at all, but, like, Ty Simpson might have that job, and they might move Jalen Miller to, like, receiver or running back.
He was
getting reps at the Sugar Bowl at receiver. You know, now it was, I think, like, screen passes. But, I mean, with that type of, I believe, at least.
Could we be looking at, like, a New Orleans Saints kind of play package where, like, with Taysom Hill just comes in?
I was just about to say that.
Sometimes at receiver, sometimes at running back, sometimes at quarterback.
There really is no depth chart there.
Like, you could, you know, if... Especially,
he just listed his athlete on the depth chart.
I mean, like, like you were saying, Joe, you were talking about how you didn't want them to transfer. Well, the best way not to get them to transfer is, like, we still have a package for you. You're still going to get playing time as a quarterback.
Do the old, and I know it didn't work out for them, but do the old Justin Fields at Georgia. Put him in on fake punts.
Right. Oh, my God. You got this guy.
Fake punts at the 50 SEC championship. Put him in Milrow's hands.
Okay, but who do you think is going to be the starting quarterback? If you think Nick Saban already knows, well, just take a guess.
It's Milrow. 100%. Like, I have zero doubt at who it's going to be week one. It would take Ty Simpson going out there and having the practices of his career. Like, yeah. I mean, he would have to blow Jalen Milrow away.
So how much attention are you going to pay at A-Day on, like, how well they're playing? Okay. Do you think A-Day has anything to do with it?
I prepped for this exact question because I was going to talk about what I thought about A-Day. Let's rewind to A-Day last year, okay? It was super rainy. It was kind of crappy conditions, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But let's remember this. White beat Crimson 25-7, like, pretty soundly.
Yeah,
naturally.
I remember Bryce not playing very well at all. You know, we can look at stats for A-Day if that's not what we want to do. Bryce was 14 of 29 for 153 yards. Milrow was 11 for 23 for 149. Bryce didn't throw a touchdown in the A-Day game this past week. But, I mean, then again, it's not like Bryce was going to lose his starting job because he played bad in the rain on A-Day.
The Heisman-winning quarterback loses starting job because of, you know, a practice game.
The Golden Flake A-Day game. It's just truly tough. But, like, look, A-Day is not, like, super predictive. It's not like a great, like, oh, well, you know, Ty Simpson was on Crimson for A-Day.
You know,
looks like he's starting week one.
I do think this year's A-Day, as opposed to last year, I think this one is more of a how are you going to play in competition with fans in the stands. But it's like it's still the spring. Like, you still have all your summer practices. You're gonna have, like, once you get back to fall practice, that first game, everything can still change. I will probably pay more attention this year just because of, you know, new coaches, staff, new quarterbacks, new players. But, you know, we'll still have to wait and see.
Is there more pressure on you at A-Day because Nick Saban's standing literally 10 feet behind you when you're taking snaps?
I was going to say, I was just about to mention that. I mean,
you always hear from every player that's in the NFL, they always said, like, practices at Alabama were harder than NFL games. So.
So is A-Day harder than
the national championship?
I mean, has Lambeau Field got anything on Tuscaloosa A-Day game?
I don't know.
Hopefully there's a better turnout than there was for that rainy A-Day past.
The weather really killed that.
What's the date for it again?
I can't even remember. 22nd, I believe.
And it's at the same time as, like, a softball game too. There were a lot of people upset about that. I mean, not the
April.
Fogs, but, you know, other.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah. It says it's set for April 22nd.
It's like middle of the day, too.
What time's...
They do not have a time set yet.
Oh, it's probably got to get organized by the ESPN people.
I heard that it was only going to be on ESPN Plus this year.
That could be weird. It's probably
only SEC, like, Network the national Plus. Champion gets the, like, ESPN.
And Colorado.
And Colorado.
Colorado Spring Day game, I heard, is on, I think it's ESPN or ESPN2.
That Deion effect.
Have y'all paid attention to what's going on at Colorado right now? So, Deion Sanders, you know, he had one of his first press conferences, and he has fully embraced Colorado. He's at the press conference. He's got a cowboy hat on and everything. It was kind of funny. But, you know, so for their practices, every player is wearing a black jersey, no number. And he gave a whole press conference talking about how everything's going to be earned, even your jersey number. Your jersey number means something. So that was kind of similar to how, you know, Nick Saban saying everybody's job's open. He's like,
there's no doubt.
You're not even guaranteed to your number.
Yeah. He's had some very interesting press, like Deion Sanders at Colorado has had some very interesting statements. Like I read somewhere where he would have meetings at 7 a.m., start the meetings at like 6:55, and if you weren't in your seat by 6:45, you were late.
It reminds me of my time in the military.
Oh, and the player who I think he sent out of the weight room because he had the wrong color socks.
Yeah, he was wearing like white socks or something. Yeah.
Yeah, Deion's making an impact. I saw on TikTok he was really, getting that recruiting money, and he was doing a commercial for a portable air conditioner. It's like a cooler that you just put ice in, and it like works as an AC. Not an ad.
So this
hashtag not an ad.
This is what he's starting off with. Like Nick Saban started off with like Ford trucks. Deion's got
starting off with the portable AC.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I gotta get you two on the record. Who's starting day one for Alabama? We're gonna air this back when we do the morning show. Game of the season.
First game, Middle Tennessee State.
I'm going to air this back.
I'm going to say Ty Simpson because I think that the new offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees, will like Simpson more. I think he'll fit into the scheme a little bit better. And I think the things that Jalen Milroe can do, I mean, and then Bill O'Brien was not the best at calling plays. But, I mean, Jalen Milroe was 12 of 19, 111 yards in that Texas A&M game, so they didn't even really trust him to move the ball down the field a ton. I would think Simpson is going to get the start, at least going out onto the field now. Whether Milroe I think it's going to be one of those, like, each guy's going to have a pretty quick I forgot what the phrase, pretty quick, like, you know, release kind of thing where, you know, I think like if Simpson comes out and, you know, he's, you know, one of five, you know, or something into the second quarter, Milroe's going to go in. I think it's going to be a quick leash. But I'm going to say Simpson starts that first game.
Okay. I will say one thing is that it is a true travesty that Milroe was not used as kind of the offensive weapon that we talked about. If you're Bill O'Brien, like, what are you doing? Like, that guy's just sitting on your bench,
and
really.
O'Brien didn't call a good game for Milroe against Texas A&M at all. I don't think he was helped out by that. But I don't know. I think as much Saban values experience, and he's shown that a lot, I just think when Tommy Rees comes down and is going through practice, and I think Ty Simpson's going to be the more complete passer that Tommy Rees wants.
You know, during the season, we had talked about stuff that we wanted to see, you know, from Bill O'Brien. And then I think once we were talking about the new offensive coordinator, what we wanted to see, and it was more, you know, more dynamic play call. We wanted like more, not necessarily trick plays, but more dynamic plays. And you had, you know, Jalen Milroe, you could have put him in there at running back, receiver. That opens up your playbook. You could have done double passes. Like, you could have figured something out. But for this specific question on who is going to start, on September 2nd, when the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee step onto the field at Bryant-Denny, I believe starting lineups get announced. They do the whole thing where Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson announce their names as the starting quarterback. Jalen Milroe takes the first snap. I do think it's going to be like he gets first quarter, Ty Simpson gets second quarter type deal, kind of how we saw in the past. And then from then, it's going to be who has the hot hand. I would lean more to Jalen Milroe from the experience going forward, but we'll see.
All right. Well, when Ty Simpson transfers in a couple weeks, I'm going to play Joe's comments back and make fun of him for it. We'll be right back here on 90.7 The Gap soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back in, folks. Here on 90.7 The Capstone.
What was that?
Yeah, I have no idea. Here to the College Football Wrap-Up Show, the final segment, the now legendary Beef of the Week segment. And by legendary, I mean we got a text about it last time after we did it, so we had to bring it back, right?
Yeah.
Only fair. So I think we're just going to hop straight in. I'll go first, since we kind of want to get the depression out of the way. I will issue a mea culpa of sorts on the Whataburger. I went there for breakfast the other day, super early, but it was pretty quick. So I will give them that.
So we know that at least one Whataburger employee listens to the show, heard your complaint, exactly. And as soon as you walked in was like, I cannot have us be the Beef of the Week.
They heard, they recognized me in the drive-thru, in the drive-thru voice, and they were like, we can't mess this one up, guys.
Like, they were like, wait a second.
He's going to cut another promo on us on
the
radio.
They would have been the first ever two-time Beef of the Week, and it would not have been good for them.
They still could be the first ever two-time Beef of the Week.
Not
I'm issuing a...
I do have one. Those cards.
Slight apology of sorts. Right, it's like a Beef of the Week punch card. You get like an hour-long segment if you get on there 10 times. Anyway, my Beef of the Week this week is with the Fogs. And this is a football show, so maybe there's a couple of them listening. But, of course, Fogs, football-only guys. I can't stand these guys. Like, honestly, like, I don't know if it's just because, I'll be completely honest, I enjoy basketball a lot more than I do football. That's kind of
blasphemy.
Blasphemy from the guy doing the football show.
Wow.
But doesn't mean I don't like love football. I love football too, but
you think you know a guy.
Right. I was very excited for Alabama basketball to do well this year. And I'm just not like, I saw the same thing on Twitter the other night. After we lose, the famous, like, live and die by the three. Like, people who watch basketball, like, two times a year, have no clue what they're talking about. Trust me, you do not know ball. I did come on the show before, I'll own up to this, and I said that it would be a disappointment if Alabama did not make it to the Final Four. I did say that.
Yes, you did.
And it's a disappointment, but it's not, like, I'm not mad about it, right? Because why should Alabama fans be mad at a Sweet 16 appearance? If I went back in time, like 4 or 5 years ago, and I told you that Alabama was going to sweep the SEC title, so they were going to the regular season and the postseason
twice.
They were going to win 31 games. They were going to make it to the Sweet 16, and they were going to have the best player in all of college basketball. People would have been thrilled.
Yeah. I think I'm kind of going off of your thing before this weekend happened. And, I was talking to a lot of people trying to see if they were going up, and they were – obviously, they didn't want to spend too much money 2 weekends in a row, but they were saying, we're saving our money for Houston if we make it. And I'm like, for me, I've followed it a lot longer. We've made it to the Sweet 16 now twice the last 3 years, but that appearance in 2021 was the first one since 2004. Like, you don't know if you're ever going to get back to that level, so yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah, so, like, let's not, like, we should not be mad at Nate Oates. I saw some crazy takes. It was like, we're never going to win the national championship with Nate Oates as our head coach.
Well, we haven't won one without
him. Get out of here, man.
Yeah,
like,
I was gonna say,
the door's right here.
We do have the 19-29-30. We were awarded a national championship. That was before the NCAA tournament, but we went undefeated that
season. That might have been before the NCAA.
All the Fogs probably loved that one because that was like classic, like John Stockton basketball.
So, I don't even know who that was.
What was the basket? Like, it was the net still a basket at that
probably
point?
Probably was. Peach basketball.
I've got it somewhere up here.
That's James Neesmith originating the game right then and there.
But yeah, I did see, you know, they were saying, you know, the live by the three, die by the three thing. So we had, I saw it, I believe it was Blake Beiler.
Yeah, I have that written down.
You tell him then.
Blake Beiler, great stat. He said, I think he said something to the effect of, for everybody who wants to keep pushing the famous live by the three, die by the three narrative, Alabama was 12-3 in games this season where they shot less than 30% from three.
Yeah. That was one of their big improvements.
That's crazy.
It was because of the defense. People actually tried on defense this year.
Yeah.
But so I do have it here with the head coach, Hank Crisp, the 1929-30 Alabama Crimson Tide men's basketball team, 20-0, 10-0 in the Southern Conference.
Oh, yes.
And they
– I think Tulane won, was in that one.
They were retroactively named the national champion by the Primo Peretta Power Poll. So
the true college basketball authority.
We need to hang the banner. I'm just saying we don't have that.
The Prima Peretta poll?
Primo Peretta power poll. And we don't have that banner hanging in Coleman Coliseum. I think that needs to be put up.
Did y'all see?
It's almost, you know, what did you say, 1929?
Yeah.
Coming up on 100 years.
I mean, when the anniversary happens, we'll hang the banner.
I mean, it's basically the same as UCF claiming that 2017 national championship.
Did y'all see? I don't know. Okay, I have not vetted this information. This could be some photo manipulation, but apparently Florida State has a banner that says NCAA canceled and for 2020, and then has their number 4 ranking on it,
which is
an all-time banner. Hang the banner, truly.
Yeah. So another thing about banners. Are you done with your beef of the week?
Yeah, I'm done with my beef of the week. I've cut my promo.
I'm gonna get into my beef of the week. And first, I'm going to say I took the trip up to Louisville, Kentucky for the Sweet 16 game, Alabama-San Diego State. And looking at the banners from Louisville, big basketball history. That's their home court.
The KFC Yum Center.
The KFC Yum Center.
Such a sick name.
And it's probably one of the better, like, brand named, you know,
although
places.
I will bring this up. Why would you have the Cardinals arena be named after a thing that fries chickens?
We don't need to get into all that, but
truly a tough scene.
But it's the second largest college basketball arena, but it is the only basketball only. What the other one's a Syracuse, so they do football and basketball up there. They cut off like half the stadium for a basketball game. But it holds like 22,000 people. Place was great. The lower bowl, no bad seat in the house down there. It was a great place. They had their banners up, you know, huge basketball history there. They do have one 2013 where they did win the national championship. That was the last time a number one overall seed won the national championship. But all those wins that season have been vacated. So the banner now says number one final coaches poll, because in the AP they were voted number two at the end of the year after winning the national championship. So it says final coaches poll number one.
Wait, they were voted number two after winning
the
national. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the
thing. I would have some beef with that. I would not let that slide.
Yeah. So that is the banner. Now my issue going up there, I bought the student tickets, and allegedly, if the team had made it to the Elite Eight, we would have gotten better seats. We would have been moved down to the lower bowl since the other band spaces weren't going to be reserved. But I paid $125 for my student seat for the first game. You could have bought a ticket with a better seat for like $20 on StubHub. My seat was about two rows before the back of the upper deck. I was above the rafters. And I was able to move around a little bit. But when I'm up there, you put a bunch of college students around a bunch of Louisville people who were just trash-talking Alabama the whole time when their team only won four games. If you had worse students up there who had been drinking a little too heavily, things would have happened. Not a great idea to put a bunch of college kids that high in the stadium.
Well, that reminds me of, like, have you guys seen that clip of the, I think it was, like, the Michigan-Penn State game? It was like a couple of years ago. It was Penn State's whiteout game, and I guess they put Penn State's like visiting section. Oh my, yeah, that is high.
We're seeing a picture of where his seat was.
Yeah, but so Penn State, it was their whiteout game, and the Michigan visiting fans, their home section or their visiting section, I should say, was like in the top. It was like the end zone. The upper level of the end zone, like all the way to like the right, and that was their section. They had this little sliver of just like yellow, And I was like, cool, yeah, you could not, you know, you could not put away fans in a worse area than pretty much right next to where all the rowdy college kids are going to be.
Yeah, so if, and like we said, don't know if it's true, we didn't make it, I'll never find out unless we do this again within the next couple of years. But I would have had to pay another $125 for another student ticket, but supposedly it would have been like down close to court side, kind of how it was for the SEC tournament. And then the Final Four, it is like all like next to the court. But once again, my only experience is a Sweet 16 because we didn't make it past it. So not worth it if I'm not going to get a better seat the next game.
Wow. Who would have guessed? Yeah. All right, I'll go to round this out. I had a beef of the week in mind before we went on air, but I've since changed it because I had a terrible experience today at the Chipotle on University Boulevard. My beef of the week is with that Chipotle because that place lost an order. So me and my friend ordered Chipotle. We go down to I go down to pick it up because it's ready.
You place order there?
I place an order on the app.
Okay.
Me and my friend did. And like he drove, couldn't find parking, so I went out and got it. I sit in there and I see mine. It says, you know, Joe S. And you know, I pick mine up, and I'm like, hey, how much longer for an order for the name of you know, my friend? And they're like, well, it's gonna be, you know, they said it's on the way. So I sit down. Probably 20 minutes pass, and I go back up there and I'm like, hey, where's the order, you know, for my friend? And they said, well, we put it out here. So is it not out there? And I'm like, no. Like, and no name is even close to it that's even out there. So, like, there was no mistaking the name. And they were like, well, you know, we'll see what happens. And then they wait. They scroll down, you know, on their little scanner thing. And they're like, yeah, it says we took it out. So, you know, and then they go, do you want us to make it for you? And I'm like, well, yeah. Yeah,
no, don't make my food, man.
Appreciate it. I'd love that. So then they remake it, and then the lady doesn't even tell me that it's ready, and she just puts it up there while I'm, like, looking at my phone. And so I probably waited 5 minutes and didn't even know that the order was done. So, yeah, that's my beef for the week, the Chipotle on University. You guys know restaurant themes? I'll take the range, or I'll take it this week where, you know, you did the Whataburger, I'll do the Chipotle. We'll just keep losing sponsors left and right.
I admire that. You know, we're just soon. There's going to be nobody left to sponsor us at this point.
Yeah,
it's truly tough. Anyway, that's going to do it for us, folks. Here on the College Football Wrap Up, here on 90.7 The Capstone. Join us same time next week. Have a nice night.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.